This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Here we go. Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show goes right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Fan Upstate. How do you do? Yeah. Upstate South Carolina. Hello, America. What up, world? Great to be with you, Robin, the great one, Alonzo, with you. This beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning. Nope, Tuesday morning. What's today? Tuesday? It's Tuesday, right?
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday morning. I'll get it right.
Are you sure?
Nope.
You good?
Not at all. We're getting there, though.
Do I need to call some help? I don't know who I'm going to get to come and help you. I don't know what kind of help you need, but I'm
professional. Professional.
Yeah, that can exactly, because that can mean a whole lot when you talk about professional.
That's not unfair. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 8:01 in the morning. Time for the Audio Blitz, the best audio that we have picked up since the last time that we did the Audio Blitz. Got a couple of clips we're going to run at you here, and we will react and respond to all of them. I want to start with this one. Josh Metellus is a player for the Minnesota Vikings. Josh Metellus does a fun little segment on the Vikings social media channel called Tellus Metellus, which is a great name.
It's well done. Very yeah. Well done.
Where he goes around and he asks questions of his fellow Minnesota Viking teammates. The most recent episode he put together was one where he asked every member of the Minnesota Vikings, what's the weirdest app on your phone? Now, I got two clips here. First, I'm going to play you a random assortment of different teammates. These are all members of the Minnesota Vikings and coaching staff giving their answers.
I got a couple. First of all, the turbulence guy. That sounded like someone from The Office.
What that was going the on there? Play-by-play voice okay. of the Vikings. Who okay. makes right. sense. That's the only dude in The Office that flies as much as the guys on the team do, is the play-by-play
turbulence,
guy.
Turbulence, I want to know.
I've got to know if there's some mild chop.
There might be, I may have had a late lunch, and if there's turbulence.
I need a better play-by-play voice. I need a play-by-play voice that Lonzo would mock. Maybe that's what I need. Maybe then I'll make it. All right, so you got...
How do you know I don't already?
That's also fair. You got an area code notifier, which, by the way, yes, please. All right? That's a great concept. A guy who has a tracker. So basically, when he goes hunting, he can track where he kills things so he can know what the most fertile hunting grounds are. You've got a Duolingo, which, I got to tell you, I tried the Duolingo. All right? I was going to learn French. I got like a 200-day streak in. I felt real good about it. And then one day I was like, let me practice some French without Duolingo. And I was just not good. So I dumped it. Walmart, Richie Bros, which is apparently like an auction site, but it's like random stuff, which I got to tell you, I got like three of those on my phone and I bought some weird stuff off of them. A Turbulence Tracker, Candy Crush, Clash of Clans, and two players said Reddit, which, again, me too. Big Reddit guy over here.
Well, the guy who talked about Clash of Clans, and then he was like, well, I'm 25. I probably shouldn't. Come on, dude. I mean, I
own it, bro.
Rob has games on his phone.
Now.
And he's a lot older than 25.
That's also true.
And I have games on my phone, and I'm even older than that. So
that's also true. I said all of that and played you that clip to give you this one. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Josh Metellus, joined by Minnesota Vikings starting quarterback, Sam Darnold, and Minnesota Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell, when he asked them about the weirdest app on their phone.
That's kind of cool. I didn't know that there was an app for that. You think it would also identify strange noises in the woods when I'm trying to get to my car?
Very different thing.
Because I'm pretty sure that I'm hearing a coyote, kind of a yipping. Kind of, I guess it could be a fox, but I'm going to have to find an app.
I found this morning, when I heard that clip for the first time, an application put forward on the Google Play Store by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology.
Oh, here we go.
An ornithologist, of course, is a biologist who studies birds.
Mm-hmm.
This comes from Cornell, a well-respected Ivy League school.
Mm-hmm.
A hub, a source of documented scientific literacy, something this country sorely lacks. They have an application out that you can download today, and by can, I mean I definitely did, which you can identify birds using pictures of them, videos of them, or recordings of their songs that they sing. And I'm going to tell you there's nothing more I'm excited about today. Not going to Fluor Field and watching a little midday college baseball, doing my work out on the hill in left field while I watch the boys swing the tang. I am most excited.
There will be birds out there when you're out there.
I am most excited about taking my booty home around sunset tonight when the feathery boys are flying around in the backyard and doing a little wild bird IDing with my boy Sammy D.
I don't know why you don't do that at the baseball game.
I mean, because it's pigeons. I can ID a pigeon pretty easy.
There's more than pigeons downtown.
I can identify a pigeon pretty easy.
You probably got,
most of the other birds.
Some crows. You probably got some blackbirds.
I don't need help identifying a crow. I got that one.
No, but it's more about by hearing a sound and wanting to know what bird it is. Yeah,
it's a crow. I got that one.
They don't really sound.
Or a pigeon. Cool. That's more. You know what I'm going for there. I know a pigeon.
You can roll your R's like that.
I need to go out into the woods, out into the sticks, and get the weird birds.
You need to come to my house.
No, you got more than birds. This is an older clip, sir, but it checks out. Last year on SNY, a news station out of New York, they went to a Mets game, and the Mets fans built a beer snake. You know what a beer snake is, where everybody in the section goes and gets beers, and then they donate their cups, and then they try to get a long stack of cups that goes from the top of the section to the bottom. They went, and they sent their stadium reporter to the source of the beer snake to ask some questions about it. I've never heard of this clip, and now I want this guy to have his own television show. That kid, based on my watching of the video, was probably a college kid in his like early 20s, maybe mid 20s at latest. And he decided not just to answer the questions and answer them well, but to go full broadcaster with a buzz on it. He's like, great question, Jim. Let me tell you how the beer snake works. First of all, we come on out of here to Shea Field. We all start drinking a couple of beers. People say, cups, give me your cups. Then, Jim, we all pass the cups to the middle of the section. We start stacking those cups, Jim. And eventually, those cups are going to get 4 or 5 seats deep, Jim. Now, all of a sudden, we're an attraction. Once people decide that we are the attraction, Jim, they're going to want to participate. They start passing more cups. Just like that, we have a world record beer snake, Jim. Pretty simple. What inning is it? 8th, 9th? It's the 6th. Basically the 8th, Jim. Like, what a guy. What
all right,
a bro.
So I looked him up. That's a frat bro right there.
For and sure.
It's a flat face frat bro. A guy who fits in with the frat, but when he gets out in the real society and has to get a real job, doesn't know what's going on. That's, I mean, look at that guy.
Lonzo, that guy is me, and I have a job with you.
No. I'm just
Yes.
By the way, I'm talking about.
I am 40, and I will go help Build-A-Bear Snake today. All right. If anybody comes out to Florida today to watch baseball, I'll help you do it.
You're taking offense about the alcohol thing, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the guy's face. And with his face shape, the shape of his face is what I'm saying. The guy's the shape of his face.
You're saying he has a punchable face.
It's flat. It's weird looking. So it, but he looks right.
He looks like Adam Devine.
If you roll into your frat and there's a guy sitting on the couch. It's that guy. It's that guy. But when you put him out in real society, he doesn't actually fit anywhere. That's all I'm saying.
I like that guy a lot. I really do. Hey, Dominic Mysterio.
What?
What's your Waffle House order? Philly cheesesteak, but no onions, which is weird because, like, I'm not a huge onion guy, but on a Philly, I got to have them. Got to have the onions, got to have the green peppers, got to have the cheese.
Well, maybe Dominic has a sensitive stomach and, you know, the onions mess with it.
Well, possible. He shouldn't because trash cans eat everything. All right?
Wow.
He's a deadbeat.
Wow. Me cracking on the guy before got your back, Ray. Is nothing like got your what back. You're doing now.
I got your back, Ray.
Why are you...
The greater Mysterio.
Backing up a deadbeat dad.
Because... He had a loving, wonderful relationship with a young lady named Rhea Ripley, and he ditched her just like that. Just like that.
Oh, that's
no
what it,
breakup.
That's what it comes down to.
No conversation, no communication, just ditched her mid-match.
He went to a more caring relationship. First of all, what's that syndrome when you've been kidnapped and then you're okay with the kidnapper? Forget what that syndrome
is. It's called Stockholm Syndrome.
Stockholm Syndrome. He had Stockholm Syndrome. He was kidnapped. He was beat up. He was abused by Rhea Ripley. And then he saw a way out with a much prettier and younger, I think, person who helped him get out of that horrible relationship. And you're defending the kidnapper.
Yeah, he's a backstabbing dumpster fire.
You're defending the kidnapper and abuser. And that's
backstabbing
horrible.
Dumpster person.
His dad's a deadbeat dad.
Chris Rose covers Major League Baseball. He said it's not the Dodgers' spending that has a problem. It's the perception of it that is the problem. Why?
He did say that. Apparently he said that. And we're all going to hear how he said that. See, I'm covering so you can try to figure out what's wrong.
I don't know what's wrong. Other than just my frustration with everything.
Haven't we all awakened in the morning and looked in the mirror and go, I don't know what's wrong. I mean.
All right. Well, you'll hear from Chris Rose later. Let's see. Is it all my clips that don't work now? Oh, yeah, the whole system is shut down. What a perfect time for that to happen.
Did you mute it?
No, it just stopped. It just said it crashed. So, you know, only in the... It's been fine for 2 hours and 15 minutes, but the time that I actually need it to work, it dies.
It's because you were telling lies about Dominic Mysterio, and this is just karma.
My cart wall is the Dominic Mysterio of apps. Just garbage and not there when I need it the most. Fixed it. I did it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting take. Don't have a lot of pushback.
It's very aggressive. I mean,
that being said,
and angry for some reason.
I don't think it's angry. Yes, it is angry, and I'll tell you why it's angry. I understand the anger. It's angry because of Mark Ryan. It's angry because people like me who actually like baseball, we sit here and we listen to people grab microphones every day and they go, baseball is bad and it's dying and it's struggling and nobody cares and blah, blah, blah. And it's not. It's none of those things.
Was that your Mark Ryan?
No, that was just generic. Grumpy old radio host show guy. It is annoying, to tell you the truth. It is annoying to be somebody who a chunk of me making my living comes from baseball. And baseball is the sport that I have watched more games of, gone to more games of, than any other sport. I love the sport. I love the sport. I love its place, its role in American history. And so I get very frustrated with people constantly crapping on it. And while I understand the frustration with the Dodgers, because it's not just that they have the number one payroll in baseball. And I do think that this is where I push back against Chris Rose. It's not that the Dodgers have the number one salary in baseball. It's that the Dodgers will have the number one salary in baseball because of deferred money until the sun enlarges and engulfs the earth. It's just going to be that forever because they have deferred a larger amount of money than the gross domestic product of about half of the countries on the planet. And that's not a joke. That's legitimate. There's like 75 countries that the Dodgers have more money on their deferred payroll than they produce as countries. It's ridiculous. That being said,
who's on that list? Like Guam?
You know, places I don't know. Like, I just looked up the number. I didn't look up
Ecuador.
What countries were on it. Here's what I will say. The Dodgers are playing by the rules. There's nothing they've done that's illegal. There's nothing they've done against the rules. Every team has the right to spend money that way. If your ownership refuses to do it, sucks to be you. It does, even as a guy who just went off on Chris Rose because I love baseball, it does kind of suck because it does kind of feel like this year is a foregone conclusion to me. It does kind of feel like it's the Dodgers world and we're all living in it. What they have done is not illegal. Doesn't really feel fair though, right? Take a break back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Texter said, I love baseball. And when the MLB actually has an enforceable salary, I'll watch it again. What the Dodgers have done is not fair at any level. This is a weird spot, Texter. Because I somehow simultaneously agree and disagree with your text.
When's the last time a baseball team bought a championship?
I mean, the Dodgers last year. They had the number one salary in baseball last year. But again, I would also say...
Okay, so you're saying it's the norm. The team that pays the most is the team that wins.
It is absolutely not at all. The Braves, when they won their 2021 World Series, were the 13th out of 30 payrolls.
Because not being a baseball guy, all I hear about, well, Yankees, all they do is they spend all this money and everything. But how many times have the Yankees won the championship in the last
years? That's more an organizational failure, but okay. I get where you're going. Here's the reason I both agree and disagree with you. The Dodgers did win the World Series last year, and they won the World Series last year with the number one payroll in baseball. But here's the thing that the Dodgers are doing now that kind of throws the kink in the argument. There's two different numbers you have to look at. It is both the active payroll and it is also deferred money. Money that the team says, we're going to pay. Shohei Ohtani is getting almost $1 billion. And most of it won't hit his payroll until he's in his late 40s. It's Bobby Bonilla with the Mets. Every year, what is it, June 1st or whatever, Bobby Bonilla gets a check for like $4 million hitting his account from the New York Mets. Deferred money. It makes the money feel fake. That's what it feels like. It's monopoly money. They can just defer it. And obviously, that creates a unique strategic advantage for teams that have way bigger television and geographic advantages, like the Los Angeles Dodgers. However, there's another side to this argument, which is the Dodgers aren't violating any rules. The Dodgers aren't doing anything that nobody else has the right, the ability to do. It's just that other owners won't do it. I look at, for instance, the Miami Marlins. A handful of years ago, the Miami Marlins were a World Series caliber team. They made a run, and then what did they do? They got rid of everybody. They fire-sailed everybody worth a damn. Why did they do it? Did they do it because they didn't believe that they were going to be a good team anymore? No. They did it so that they didn't have to pay the players high salaries that they would have earned by going to a World Series. They didn't want to do it. And they have followed that philosophy ever since. Right now, I'm actually looking up and down the Marlins payroll right now. Not their payroll, their active roster right now. I know like a couple of players, right? Matt Mervis. Why is Matt Mervis the starting first baseman for the Miami Marlins? Matt Mervis was drafted by the Cubs 2 years ago. Never caught on, never did anything. So at a point in time where the Marlins didn't have much money on the payroll, they decided, you know what we're going to start? We're going to start a 22-year-old guy who has zero Major League Baseball experience outside of like seven games for the Cubs 2 years ago. That's who we're going to start at first base. There was a first base market this year. Nope, we're not active. We're going to go get a rook. Why? Because we don't have to pay him. Second base, Otto Lopez. Third base, Connor Norby. Shortstop, Xavier Edwards. Like, nobody's. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to go ahead and make you a prediction right now. Their opening day roster, starting pitcher, is Sandy Alcantara. That guy's good. That guy's a stud. He can go. Bet you a dollar he's off this roster by trade deadline. Anybody want to take me up on that? Bet you a dollar. Why? Because he's going to be a Cy Young candidate early in the season. They're going to start to realize that we're going to have to pay this guy at the end of the year. So let's get some comp for him. Let's go get some young guys that we can keep on rookie deals. Marlins, one of those teams that I'm like, y'all don't build a farm system so that you have a sustainable foundation of good young talent moving forward. Y'all build a farm system so that you can trade away good players and bring up young players on cheap contracts and not have to pay anybody. Why? Because you still get money for being on TV. Pittsburgh Pirates. I am heartbroken for Paul Skeens. Y'all watched any Paul Skeens this spring training? Paul Skeens added like three pitches. He threw a pitch on Sunday in their spring training game. He threw a pitch that made me out loud say, holy, this pitch started 8 inches off the plate And this thing took a trajectory turn at like legitimately 45 degrees to the left for a strike. It was 8 inches off the plate. It crossed the pipe. Batter was like, all right, I quit. It was filthy. It was beyond filthy. Paul Skeens plays in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is another team that is notorious for sending guys out of town the minute they get good. So, on one hand, Texter, I totally agree with you. It feels kind of garbage that the Dodgers have been able to assemble what I believe, this is not a hot take, I mean this sincerely, might be the greatest accumulation of sports talent in one sport on a single roster since the Dream Team. And they're not, they can spread the cost of that out over 20 or 30 years, and that's not an exaggeration. On the flip side, every team in Major League Baseball has the right to do that. Every team in Major League Baseball can do the same thing, just none of them want to. So it's a problem with system for sure, but it's also a failure of ownership. The Dodgers aren't the only one allowed to do that. The Padres could do it. They're right down the road in San Diego, California. They could do it. The Giants are in San Francisco. They could do it. All these teams could do it. The Marlins could do it. The Pirates could do it. The Braves can do it. The Yankees can do it. Any of them can do it. The owners don't want to. And again, I don't fault them for that. The Dodgers have a tab over the next 20 years of $1 billion that they got to pay guys who, again, who knows how long they're going to be good for. Listen, Shohei Ohtani is the best baseball player that's ever walked the face of planet Earth. I don't know. If you're not a baseball guy, I don't know how to explain to you how beyond shocking it is that that man won a most valuable player as a designated hitter. Not an outfielder, not a pitcher, a DH. He won the MVP. What's he going to be next year when he is an MVP caliber DH and a Cy Young caliber pitcher? But what if he's not? What if he does like Matt Olson did, where he was the most dominant hitter in the National League, and then the next year he's very average? What if that shoulder surgery, that elbow surgery that he had to go through, changed his technique and he's never the same pitcher? Like, the Dodgers are on the hook for his salary still. He's not going to be like, oh, my bad, never mind, you don't have to pay me that. Hell no. He's still going to want that money. So they are very much on the hook. But just looking at that roster, who the hell's going to beat that team? So I get it, Texter. And I get it in a weird way in that, on one hand, I absolutely do believe that the system is flawed. I do not think teams should be able to run up a tab for 50 years. The Dodgers will still be paying money to Shohei Ohtani when I am on my deathbed. That's how long this tab's going to run. I don't like that. But on the flip side, it's not like the Dodgers are the only one allowed to do it. Everybody's allowed to do it. The Braves could do it tomorrow. The Cubs could do it tomorrow. This is, to circle back around to a conversation we had on the show last week, this is why I will campaign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hamilton, you're welcome. This is why I'll campaign forever on the creation of multi-levels of professional sports and promotion relegation within them. Because right now, there is no punishment for the Miami Marlins for selling every player who's worth a damn. There's no punishment for the Pittsburgh Pirates for selling every player who's worth a damn. There's no punishment for the LA Dodgers for stockpiling every player who's worth a damn for the next 30 years. So the system is the system, and everybody can participate. On the flip side, while there's a ton of rewards for the owners willing to spend money, there's no punishment for the ones who aren't. And until there is, what's going to change and why? Back after this, the Rob Brown Show rolls on the Fan Upstate. The Hot Rod Brown Show is back on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob the Great Milanzo and you. 844-326-3663. Where are my baseball fans at? Speaking of baseball, do you know what I have very much enjoyed in baseball spring training thus far? I have very much enjoyed the automatic ball strike system. Now, I will say this. Just make it full-time. Because I said, when they said we're going to allow it, but it is going to be for challenges only. Each team gets two. They can only be initiated by pitcher, catcher, or batter. If you successfully challenge a ball or a strike, you keep the challenge. If you do not.
It can only be initiated by pitcher, catcher,
or batter.
Batter. So
correct.
Who else would there have been to initiate it?
That managers, coaches.
Okay, all right.
Players in the field. There's a lot of guys out there.
So that guy playing first base, he can't see if that's a
no, but a shortstop or second baseman that is playing over toward the bag may have an eye on it. A center fielder might have an eye on it. Hey, regardless of the formula.
They're not robo eyes, so you don't, those eyes aren't good enough. Okay, I get it.
A ball's a ball's a strike's a strike. It's not subjective. It's objective.
Well, it depends on your height.
Now, let's do this. Max Scherzer is a longtime pitcher in the league. And as I told you, they would. Pitchers who have made a career by throwing pitches around the rubber, the black on the outside. Pitchers that have thrived in Major League Baseball by attempting to trick umpires into calling balls as strikes. They're going to hate it. Catchers who have survived by framing pitchers and trying to trick an umpire into believing that a ball is a strike are not going to like it. Mac Scherzer grabbed a mic yesterday. So I challenged y'all, frankly, last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was that it was announced that ABS was going to make its way into the spring game. 61% of the games this spring would have the system available. It would be a two-challenge system. I said, for those of you that are anti this and have used the words human element, do me a favor and explain that to me in a way that doesn't make it sound like balls and strikes. Excuse me. That doesn't make it sound like the human element is, I like incorrect calls. I prefer incorrect calls. Max Scherzer just gave it his best, and he was wrong about it. He said, you know, we got a buffer zone out there. Now, the buffer zone is the strike zone of any given umpire behind home plate. And he says, you know, if you throw over the buffer zone, if you hit your spot, you should get that call 50% of the time. Max, here's the thing. We have a spot. It's home plate. That's the spot. Is it over the plate or is it not? It's home plate. That's the spot. If you want a strike, throw it over home plate. Or if you want a strike, throw it outside, but maybe put some spin and movement in on it in a way that you trick the batter into thinking it's not outside, that it's over the plate and he swings and misses. That's the human element. The human element is 100% the pitcher pitching and the batter batting. That's the human. The human element is the humans who are doing the playing of the baseballs. That's it. The umpire should not have an impact on the game. A pitch is a pitch, and then it's a strike, or it's a ball. It's not subjective. What Max is making the argument here is, shouldn't I have the opportunity to trick an umpire, the only authority figure on the field? shouldn't I, as a pitcher, have the right to trick him into making an incorrect call in my favor? No. No. Throw a strike or throw a ball that looks like a strike so the batter swings at it. That's the human element. There is only one human element I'm interested in. The pitcher versus the batter. That's it. That's the only human. I'm not interested in the human element of the only authority figure on the field getting to make a wrong call. I don't like this take from Max Scherzer. And again, I understand it. I get it. There's a lot of things that are changing, for instance, in the world of sports talk radio right now. There's a lot that's changing. Our reliance on and interaction with social media is changing day by day. We get new directives weekly about what we're supposed to do and say and how we're supposed to do it and say it on social media. Our interaction in the digital world is changing every day. And there's three groups of people in the industry. There's group A, the old guys who go, I ain't doing all this crap. I don't want to do that. And those people are being phased out of the industry. Then there's group two, which is the youngsters, the whippersnappers that are just getting into the game. And they don't know anything different than that. That's all they've known in this industry. So they're perfectly fine with it. They're going to be going full tilt. Hell yeah, I'll tweet. Hell yeah, I'll make reels. Hell yeah, I'll do this, that, and the other in the digital world. Because it's all they've known. And then there's group three, the guys like me that are in the middle that go, I don't love it. But I also understand that if I want to keep my job, it ain't up to me. So I'm going to learn it. Maybe I got to make some adaptations. I have had to teach myself how to edit video to a social media format. Why? Because it's mandated. Because I got to do it. Hell, even if it's not mandated, it is critical for my survival in this industry. So what did I do? I sat down. I went to YouTube. I went to Reddit. I signed up for some classes. And I taught myself how to make videos so that I can stay relevant. With this, there's three groups of pitchers. There's the pitchers that are just going to hate it and they're not going to learn to adapt. There's the young guys that are going to be brought up in this world. And it's all they're going to know. And then there's the guys in the middle that are maybe not going to love it, but they're going to figure it the hell out. And we're going to get to see, not this year, but probably next year, what that looks like. Now, there's one other aspect of this conversation that I wanted to get into. You know what my favorite thing about the ABS is so far? That it works. That not only does it works more efficiently than I ever thought it would have. The average challenge right now is adding 16 and a half seconds to the game. Now, I don't want to do what I wanted to do and say, let's round it down to 15 for simple math. But let's say 16. 16 and a half seconds. Hell, 17, whatever you want. If all four challenges are overruled, you have added 2 minutes and 8 seconds to the game. If all four challenges are upheld and you add four more, and by the way, very few of these games are seeing all four challenges utilized successfully. But let's say they are. All four initial challenges are successful and then four more challenges happen. You have added 4 minutes and 16 seconds to the game. If you are saying that you will sit down and watch a 2-hour and 31-minute baseball game, the average length of time of a MLB regular season game last year. If you're saying, I'll sit down and watch 2 hours and 31 minutes of baseball, but I will not watch 2 hours and 35 minutes, that's irresponsible. You're full of crap. You're lying to me. Okay? Nobody's watching a thing for 2 hours and 31 minutes, but unwilling to do it for 2 hours and 35 minutes. That's not a thing. If this was adding 30, 45 minutes to baseball, then that'd be an argument. But it's not. It's not. Most of these games are having an average of 2 minutes added to them. 2 minutes and like 4 seconds. Is that breaking your enjoyment? No! Shut up! No, it's not. Even better than that. You know how we can make the game go even faster? Because this was Cody Decker's argument last Saturday. He's like, you know, you spent all this time with the base runner and extra innings rule and the pitch clock and the this and the that and the everything else to shorten these games up, and now you're adding a challenge. To which I said, hold on, Deck. We're adding on average 2 minutes to the game. Tops, 2 minutes to the game. You know how I can make the game go faster? Just let the system call every ball and strike. Then we don't have to wake. See, because right now the way it works is this. Pitcher, wind up, phew, pitch, heater, right on the corner. Ball, strike, I don't know. Umpire says, strike two. Batter goes, don't like that call, taps the helmet. Umpire stands up. He waves off the clock. He turns around. He touches his little earpiece up in the box. The eye in the sky. Baseball God looks at the replay being run by a computer. It says ball. He goes, reverse that. Umpire whites. He turns. And as soon as they put the graphic up on the video jumbotron, he goes, the call on the field is overturned. Ball two. And then they just line it up and throw it again. That's it. That's the process. The overwhelming majority of the 16 and a half seconds per challenge is coming waiting on the graphic to be shown on the screen, not the actual determination of ball or strike. That's made before the challenge is enabled. I've seen this tech. As soon as the ball hits the catcher's mitt, there's a computer screen up in the press box that shows that graphic. That's not something where they're like, okay, let's go ahead and replay it. Rewind that, Jim. Let's take it back 3 seconds. All right, here comes the one. That's all done instantaneously. The 17 and a half seconds is the challenge, the recognition of the challenge, the turn, the waiting, the score team going, go ahead and overturn that call, Jim. The umpire turning back around, clicking on his mic, waiting for the graphic, and then going, the call on the field is overturned, ball two. And then coming back to the box and settling in for the next pitch. I can get rid of all that. Soon as the Hawkeye tech says, that's a strike, the umpire just goes, strike two, let's move on. Ball two, let's move on. Like, this is going to shorten the games. So, those two things combined, neither one of them makes a damn lick of sense to me. We had a buffer zone, 50-50 ball on the outside. It's not 50-50, Max. It's over the black or it's not. That's it. It's a strike or it's not. It's not 50-50. It's 50-50 if I got a human eyeball back there that's watching a 103-mile-an-hour Aroldis Chapman heater on the outside and has to make up his mind that an object this big moving at 105 miles an hour crossed over a stripe that big in this much distance. That's impossible. Our eyes just aren't that good. Nobody's are. Tech's eyes are. Technology's eyes are. A million frame a second camera and a bunch of lasers are. Max, it's only a 50-50 ball because human beings are incapable of determining whether a moving object the size of a baseball crossed over a stripe that is a millimeter wide at 90-plus miles an hour. We just can't do it. So, let's use tech that is. Because again, that pitch you threw, it's a strike or it's not. It's not buffer zones. It's not 50-50. You're making all of that up. I've read the MLB rulebook. There's nowhere in it that says it's a strike if the umpire says so, or it's a ball if the umpire. It says if the ball crosses the plate, it's a strike. If any portion of the baseball crosses over the rubber on either side, it's a strike. That's all it says. So
it says nothing about strike zones.
It does say something about strike zones.
Because you just said it just crosses the plate and it's a strike.
Max is not talking about is it at knees or logo or belt or whatever. And again, I will say this. There is room for an improvement. And the room for that improvement is to be able to, next, move that slider. Which, by the way, it can go up and down a little bit. Right? It is adjustable. But move that slider to the spot when the batter gets into his stance, as soon as he is set, that tech marks exactly where the strike zone is vertically. Max is talking horizontally. He's talking about, am I getting the buffer on the rubber on either side? That's objective. That plate ain't moving. That plate doesn't shrink or expand. It's the exact same plate in every stadium in Major League Baseball. Same plate. Same height on the mound, same distance of the dish, same width of the dish. That's not changing. You want to talk about the variable in terms of up and down, vertical, north and south? We can do that. But I will take 100% and then we figure out vertical before I take, let's just make it up. Let's just make it up on either side. Let's just, whatever he has found. Maybe his wife gave him some extra loving last night. He's feeling real generous. Big strike zone today. Maybe he's not. Real mad. Short strike zone today. No. It's over the plate or it's not. This argument from Max Scherzer is, it's hot garbage. It's exactly what I hear when I hear somebody that's a billionaire start to argue for tax protocols. Yeah, I don't want to hear it from you, bud. I don't want to hear it from you. I want to hear it from people who, like, study it, understand it. Not people who benefit from it and nobody else. That's just me. Maybe I'm alone. I'm not. I don't know how to get out of this segment. So.
I will. You said umpire whites. That's the only thing I heard in the entire thing.
Sports flash.
Speaking of baseball, the Atlanta Braves will be without starting catcher Sean Murphy for 4 to 6 weeks. Which will cause him to miss the beginning of the season. Panic starting already over there. Murphy sustained a cracked rib, according to reports, when he was hit by a pitch during a spring game last Friday. Murphy is expected to be replaced in the opening day lineup by Drake Baldwin. Duke's Cooper Flagg helped his Blue Devils to a 93-60 win over Wake Forest in what was likely his final game at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Flagg finished with 38 points, 8 boards, 7 assists, 3 blocks, and a pair of steals in the win. Duke's 17th in an undefeated home campaign. Last I checked, that's pretty good. Tune in Saturday at 8 p.m. as the Furman Paladins take on the Sanford Bulldogs in the first round of the SoCon basketball tournament. It's Furman versus Sanford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.